he is! Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. It's a Marler Monday on a Tuesday. What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Oh, doing great. No longer snowed in, no longer iced in, but I would imagine you don't have those problems there in old Louisiana.
Everyone's had those problems around the Southeast. It seems like there's been a lot of people, not just one area, that has had a lot of issues around the country. But I'm glad everyone's safe. I'm glad everyone's doing well. We just got back from Tampa, went to the Stadium Classic in Tampa Bay for the NHL outdoor game. It was sick. It's pretty awesome.
I couldn't tell but by your post if you truly enjoyed it or if you were mocking it.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Okay. It was funny because like we were six rows up. We were lower level. The seats were incredible. They were going for like $700 a piece on the secondary market. And then I posted to Twitter. I'm like, this is one of the coolest events I've ever been to. And everyone's like, you can't even see anything. I'm like, first off, you're looking on your fucking phone. I'm at the actual game. Can see it fine. Having a blast. I don't know if you want me to be on the fucking ice, but it was awesome, man. It was awesome. Also, we got to give a shout out to the text I sent you yesterday.
Oh yeah. Shout out. Want me to read it on air?
Yeah, go ahead. And then because I'm trying to find it too.
Okay. Cousin Tyler. Oh wait, are we allowed to say who it's from or no?
No, don't. I'll just do it.
Okay.
Shout out Cousin Tyler in Atlanta, Georgia. Friends with Bonnie Powell, one of my oldest friends, one of the top five people in my life. Just awesome person. Been one of my favorite people forever. They are apparently friends. She sent me a text yesterday and said that one of her friends or coworkers or something was looking forward to Marler Monday on Monday night. Obviously, I was in the car ride home, so I couldn't do it. But shout out to Cousin Tyler. Shout out to Cousin Bonnie. Literally top five favorite people of my life. So really happy that we got to make that connection. There you go.
Worlds colliding. That's pretty awesome. Shout out Cousin Tyler. I hope he's in here. Man alive. What else is going on?
Let me
ask you, should Joey Aguilar, that's kind of something I haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
He's suing as everyone does. And now they've changed it to it's my understanding, a Knox County judge, right? That shout out Adam Sparks, Knoxville News reporting that. What's your thoughts on that? Should Joey Aguilar, should he get another year?
Yeah, I don't know. If he's out of eligibility, I get the argument. Like, I understand the argument. The internet sucks today. I told Mike, I don't know what's going on with it. It was fine 8 seconds ago. We could try to log out and log back in if we want.
It looks like a Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer music video. I don't get the reference, but that's a great comment.
How old are you? No, I think the thing with Aguilar, like if you're going to let Trinidad play, and that's a guy that's obviously played pretty much the same amount. It's also been at D2 and the Division I level versus JUCO. Like, I just like at this point, I feel like I'm so over it. I just don't care. I feel like what negative thing is going to happen by letting him play if you're already going to let other people play? Like if it's a one-off and it's like a standalone issue and it's only one person doing it, then no. I mean, like, it's like weigh in on it. It sounds like the NCAA already has weighed in on several of these things. But keep in mind, Trinidad Chambliss was told no 4 times from the NCAA, whether we agree with it or not. That was their decision 4 separate times. That also they are going to sue, and he's undoubtedly going to play next year. I would make that like 95%. Probably higher. So if you're Aguilar, I honestly don't know what has taken him so long to get the ball rolling on this, because it feels like, and I saw the thing he posted out there was like, well, you either tell me, are we doing this or not? Like, I need to know if I'm getting ready for the NFL draft or if I'm getting ready for spring ball. It's like, man, that's also you a little bit and being the catalyst to have some initiative on that. So I think he's going to end up figuring out a way to play. I just don't see a world where we live in where like Chambliss is going to be allowed to play and Aguilar's not, even though those are not the same exact scenarios. I think it's all kind of the same at this point.
I was on a Alabama radio station today. Shout out the three-man front down there, Pat Smith and company.
Yeah.
They were asking me about it, and I noted the fact that I don't know for a fact that Tennessee wanted Joey Aguilar back, and I'm pretty sure they were kind of leaning no.
Right.
Right. Obviously, with the pursuit of a lot of transfer portal quarterbacks. But I equated it to being at the bar and maybe there's a girl that you're not into, that she's into you. And then you're like, OK, I'm going to try to get with the hot chicks. They all reject you.
And then at 145,
you're like, damn, she's looking pretty good. I mean, do you think that's a fair assessment of where Tennessee is with this Joey Aguilar situation?
I'm not going to compare Joey Aguilar to a last ditch effort to take home a five at the bar. That's not what we're going to do here. I am about to restart my computer because this is going to drive me fucking nuts. It's aha, take on me would have been a much better reference for the video, by the way. Even though
I think you actually look better when I don't have to see you as much.
Yeah, every time it freezes, it's a worse version of my previous self. All right, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to restart my computer. You're going to deal with it. You're going to carry the show for just a minute. So I think it's a fair guess assessment. I will say this. I think that the way that Ole Miss attacked the portal and going after a guy like Deuce Knight, who they don't think is going to start right away, and also not wanting necessarily to retain Austin Simmons, because I feel like Austin Simmons is your primary, goal at quarterback if you're going to try to retain somebody. And in Ole Miss, you saw this especially with them. They were incredible at retention this year. Like getting Lacy to come back, obviously Chambliss and several other players from that team, they did a really good job of that from jump at figuring out and identifying the players they wanted to make sure that were like key targets and priorities, and then retaining those players like before they got busy in the portal at all. That is not what we saw at Tennessee. So I think it's a fair assumption to think maybe they either just didn't, maybe it's less of we don't want him to be quarterback next year and way more of we don't like our chances of winning this debate, and we're just going to try to figure out something with a different person. All right, I'm restarting the computer. You're carrying this for a second.
Okay, there he goes. Hey, we had some news here. Yeah, cover my face. That's what everybody wants to see. But we did have this development from the college football playoff. Now, the reason being that this was held out because they were trying to debate, right, whether the playoff was going to expand. We are officially, and maybe you guys missed it. I don't think you probably did, but we are staying at a 12-game college football playoff for another season. And here is the format. They just announced dates for the games. A lot of people are kind of going crazy over this. So upcoming season, we've got no New Year's Eve games, not a damn one, which I'm fine with. New Year's Eve games kind of suck, but it's kind of weird, isn't it, that we got the first game will be on a Wednesday, December 30th, and then no games on New Year's Eve, and then games on Friday, January 1st. So there's going to be a layover for some damn reason in the middle of the college football playoff. And another thing people were pretty pissed about, not necessarily the break, because I think it is good to have a 2-week break there so players can rest up. It's a long season. But something that people were getting pissed about, the national championship game next season is, I believe, January 25th. So that means we will have nearly 2 months between the SEC championship game and the college football national championship. It's like 58 days maybe or something like that. So I mean, that's kind of asinine. We're just dragging this thing out longer and longer. Now there is some argument for it. Again, going back to player safety, I think it's good to give these guys that make it long into the season, give them a little bit of a break so their bodies don't completely break down. But you're going into the portal, you're fighting against the NFL playoffs, which, not that we should care about ratings so much, but I think it does hurt the product when you have a national championship game and all anybody wants to talk about is NFL playoffs.
Speaking of product, still on delay. I don't know what to tell you, man. This is whatever.
I was just making fun of the national championship game. They're going to kick off on the 25th of January, which is nearly 2 months after the SEC championship game. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't really get it. I don't know why we are going so far out of our way to make the season even longer. It's like they finally have acknowledged, like, hey, there needs to be some changes with the actual, what do you call it, the actual calendar itself, because it's very problematic and it's very heavy in some areas where it's like the NFL, as much as I hate the NFL and the way they have like monopolized and like overtaken the rights to everything, right? Like, it's like you can't play on Sundays, but that's their day, but they'll play on fucking Monday, they'll play on Thursday, they'll play on Saturday, they'll play whenever the fuck they want to. And so my issue with them is more so with that, and not the fact that they have set up their schedule perfectly. Like, their whole schedule is, listen, we're going to have one big key thing a month. So there is something to keep our audience and our fans invested into at least once a month. And while you don't have that luxury necessarily with college football, because they still are student athletes, even though they are going further and further away from that, the issue is, like you saw before, and they corrected it to their credit, but like, when you have the end of the season, transfer portal opening, conference championships, then bowl prep or the playoff prep, like with all of those things happening at once, you alleviated some of it by saying, listen, the portal's not going to open until January 2nd. But you saw how that ends up being with, you know, a situation like Ole Miss. And listen, I'll use Ole Miss as this example again, because I thought what Dabo said was totally fair and reasonable with his frustration at Pete Golding. On the other side of that, one, we all know that Pete Golding was probably doing, not probably, he was doing exactly the same thing that I would say 90% of other coaches and staffs are also doing, which is tampering and getting away with it and whatever. He was also kind of at a disadvantage because he was coaching in the playoff. Like, how much time do you have to scout out talent and look up things, especially when you're a brand new head coach going into this whole transition phase with Kiffin leaving and you staying put and figure out which coaches, like, and I know that's it's an extreme example because it's just Ole Miss, but like, for the entire calendar, you have to take into account, like, who is this going to affect the most? Like, I'll give you another example. A couple of years ago when Saban retires, Alabama's, their roster was out and like able to be picked for 30 days. Now, once they were allowed to go and recruit players from that to that roster from the portal, that wasn't until April because they had missed the window. And so then you were also talking about how they couldn't get players in from the SEC. It could only be other conferences and G5. And it's like, there always seems to be some team that's completely fucked over on like the decisions that are being made. I don't know if teams are getting fucked over with the playoff being so elongated and pushed back. I do know the fans, who are the consumers of the product, don't want it. And it's very frustrating that over and over and over again, we find ourselves just doing things because of the money, when the people that actually care about the sport want almost the exact opposite. Totally frozen.
I'm not frozen.
No, it's just me.
Okay. Oh, don't you dare call me frozen.
Yeah, let's just try this for a minute.
Let me ask you this, because you jogged my memory of something else that is being reported, and I don't know it to be factual. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get you in trouble.
Oh, God.
So just, if you have not heard the same, or if you think it's completely asinine, that's fine. Again, I'm not speculating. This has been reported, but this has been reported by a kind of a Homerific site. The Ole Miss On Three guys. And again, I don't know them.
Yeah.
I don't know them to be bad. I don't know them to be good. But I have seen it to where they are reporting that Lane Kiffin is behind some of this stuff that Dabo has got on Ole Miss. Have you heard any of that? Do you have any reaction to that?
I've heard it. I haven't heard it from, like this doesn't mean it's, I'm denying it or saying it's not happening. I haven't heard it from a source that is like, oh shit, I fully, fully believe that. But also, I haven't really been that invested into that part of the story. So like, I just haven't really gone out of the way to find out. Could be. That's so good. That is so good. And that's also good. Wait, why am I getting even more comments on my physical looks when I finally went off camera? You guys are tough, man.
Damn, Marlon, did you lose weight?
I did. I'm down 14 and a half pounds.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You guys can all suck my dick. So I think Allie's on a call too. I shouldn't have yelled that because she's like on a real work call. I think that it could be a thing. I don't know. Like, it's like, I want to sit here and be logical about it, Mike, and be like, well, why would someone waste their time and energy to do that?
And have you seen his Twitter feed?
And you're like, well, of fucking course. Like, so I don't know if it's happening or not. Yes, I did. It's just, it is just there. down to 1 pound. So, I think that the possibility of it happening, sure, it's definitely a possibility. I don't know if it has been, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
two notch road.
There's just going to be allegations. I think the entire tenure, believe, you know, while Kiffin is in Baton Rouge.
And if you're Ole Miss, I mean, I feel like you, there is a part of you, if you're an Ole Miss fan, that has this very real, as much as they have this like superiority complex over everyone else as people, like I think Ole Miss fans truly, and this isn't like, it's probably the same for a lot of people. Texas is like this for sure. Vanderbilt is like this and probably should be. But there's, I think there's Ole Miss fans that when they look at the other people around the SEC, like, no, we're better than that. Like we are classier. We have more money. We're fancier, all those things. And I think there's this very real frustration, as much as you have that superiority complex, of like an inferiority complex. It's like, well, damn, dude, Tommy Tuberville said he was only leaving in a pine box. Now he left. You finally have this like back-to-back years of like really, really good football that you've been waiting on forever under Hugh Freeze, and the NCAA comes in and kind of takes all that away, only for rules that ended up becoming, you know, legal. And then the whole thing with Kiffin. I feel like we've spent a lot of time on the Ole Miss stuff today. I don't mean to have them be the only example, but I do think they fit a lot of the boxes that we're talking about in terms of some of the topics. I don't know if Kiffin's doing that or not. I would really hope that he would be better than that. That being said, I don't have an answer as to, I can 100% confidently tell you that it's not happening. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I got you. I just thought it was kind of interesting, so I figured I'd ask you about it. Let me also ask you about this, because I know you reacted to this, you big bammer, but not a fan of the offensive coordinator rankings. How dare you?
I just don't, like, here's what bothers me about, right? I would probably have... This is so tough. That kid, is that a real last name for Tennessee? Howell?
You know what this tells me more than anything? I think we don't have a lot of good coordinators in the SEC right now.
That could be a thing. I also think that like John David Baker, I think could be really, really good. We just haven't seen him at the Power Four level. Ben Arbuckle is a guy that I feel like had a ton of juice coming into last year. I like Tim Beck a lot. That feels kind of low. I will say that Bobo is so underrated, and he does a really good job. He just kind of gets his own way sometimes. I love Buster Faulkner. Now, from Ryan Grubb's standpoint, this year is going to be really interesting, because I think if you're looking at Ryan Grubb, Bama's frustrations offensively kind of went away for a lot of this year, for a lot of it, not all of it, but it went away because versus where it was the year before with Nick Sheridan, and even the year before that with Tommy Rees. But if you're looking at Ryan Grubb and you're like, man, they could not figure out a way to run the football. His creativity is unbelievable. Like the creativity on fourth and one, you saw it over and over and over again. It was awesome. You saw it against Georgia in that first matchup. You saw it several other times throughout the year. I mean, they are really, really creative at these one-off plays. The way they got Caden Proctor involved was kind of fun and cute for a time. But also, you had to do all those things because you couldn't fucking line up and get 1 yard. That was the frustrating part. So it's like, I don't know if all that's falling on him. I do know, just from the optics, he left Seattle, and Seattle's in the Super Bowl this week. So maybe all that's because they have a new quarterback. I don't know. I think the bigger thing for here is I look at Ryan Grubb, and I feel like I can confidently say I don't think I would have him as my number one OC. But you're right. The rest of the list, I don't know if I can confidently sit here and tell you, no, this guy definitely deserves to be here. This guy deserves to be here. I would probably have Sark in the top five. But that's all I got.
Well, I have seen a lot of Alabama people critique that, and that's fair. Again, I didn't actually even feel good about putting Grubb there, but it was almost like process of elimination for me. But the main critique I've heard is, you know, they couldn't run the football. And that's fair. But also, correct me if I'm wrong, they just fired the offensive line coach. And I've had Alabama beat writers on here saying they didn't have a running back that is up to standard last year.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and what they do, they went and got a five-star out of high school, right? And they tried to get Hollywood Smothers. That tells you that kind of confirms it. They didn't have a running back. They allegedly had a good offensive line, but they couldn't run block, apparently. Yeah. And again, you referenced there, they did get kind of cute at times, but
yeah.
I think they almost did that out of necessity. I mean,
they had to. That's what I'm saying. Right. They couldn't figure out ways. Like I remember saying this when they played Vanderbilt, because like you had the Georgia game first, then you had Vanderbilt, and when they lined up Caden Proctor, now you keep in mind Bama was winning that game, and it was like, oh man, they might go in and get a go ahead, like the final score here, and bury these people. And it was like this, you were never supposed to win that game. It was unexpected. So when you line him up at receiver and you think it's a gimmicky thing, and then he catches it and goes for 9 yards in a first down, it's like, oh shit, that's awesome. It's like a lot of people had that same response Josh Pate had on the sideline, where you're just kind of laughing, like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I don't think he said that, because all right, thanks guys. Appreciate it. There's a lot of negative comments. And that's fine. That's fine. But I think when that happened, it was kind of fun time. The very next week, Mike, they line up against Vanderbilt, and they were favored to win that game. You think you should be able to win that game. And more than anything, if you're an Alabama fan, your understanding of like, well, listen, we're not going to have Saban years where you're going to have fucking 6 titles in 9 years and all this kind of stuff. Fine. But what I do expect to happen is I expect them to be able to line up on fucking 3rd and 1 in a traditional setup and feel confident enough they can gain 1 yard. When you saw on 1st and goal from the 1, Caden Proctor line up in the Wildcat, you were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how is it this bad? Now, I will say this. Crowell is like the number 13 ranked player in the country, I think, from the 247 Sports Composite. He's a consensus 5-star. He should be very, very good. I'm very excited to see what he looks like. But the big issue for Bama last year was Daniel Hill looked like Derrick Henry in, like, you know, from a physical standpoint. And he was fun to watch at times. He got blown up by defensive backs all game against Oklahoma in pass pro. Kevin Riley was good at times. He's like pretty elusive in space. Also not great in pass pro. If Crowell can be good in pass pro and be more of a complete back, that's one of the bigger things. And it's also, hey man, can you guys just figure out a way to not get -3 yards? Cause that's fucking real tough.
Well, let me address this. Because this is, I think it's a fair question from Liquid. So no running back and a bad offensive line. The OC is over the whole offense though, right? Yes. I think they were lacking, and clearly their offseason moves suggest they were lacking there. But I know we like wipe things out of our mind because
let me pause this for a second. I just want to address one thing. And I'm just going to address this one specifically. Cameron Vaughn 2291, get some new Wi-Fi, clown. We have done this show every fucking week for 5 months, you fucking moron. Every single week, there has not been an issue. Today, there's an issue. Love the profile pic, the smug-ass fucking smile. I'm sure it's the same thing you had when you wrote this comment. Every week we've had the show. You're also still watching, so suck it. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
So back to my spiel here. So, he is in charge of the whole operation. But, again, I realize they got smoked in the SEC championship. They got smoked by Indiana. So, all of a sudden, the guy's a complete nitwit, right?
Yeah.
They were number one in the SEC. They were the number one seed going into Atlanta. So, we can't just wipe out the 12 games that are the entire season. And I'm not saying they were like God's gift to offense for 12 games, but they weren't number one seed because they had the damn steel curtain defense either. You know what I mean?
I'd tell you the other part of it too, Mike, if you really do want to make a case for it, I mean, you're playing one-handed. I love all of you. They're playing one-handed all year. Love you, right. Cameron. They're playing one-handed all year. Like they can't figure Tantrum Tuesday is perfect. I think they're playing without the ability to run the ball. And you even said later in the year, he was like, dude, listen, this idea. I think this guy's not kidding. I think he's not. I can't tell if he's a Tennessee fan or not. So it is your fault, Thor Hog. Also, great nickname for a penis, Thor Hog. That's awesome. So I think he made a comment earlier this year. He's like, you know, they were like, you know, if you tried everything, he's like, we've tried fucking everything, dude. Like what more do you want me to do? So maybe the other part of it too is because everywhere else they've been, they've had a semblance, not just a semblance, they've had a really good run game. Like you saw it at Washington. Maybe the argument there is, well, it's in the Pac-12 and it's not as good. Like when they went to the national championship that year, I don't know. But at the same time, it's like the offense was still able to be good. Ty Simpson had to shoulder mostly all that. Like the, I don't, this is going to, phrasing's bad. He had to take all the load on that. And that was probably pretty tough. And I think the other part too is like, you think about all the things that went wrong for them. I'm higher on Bama's offense next year because of the things I think that could just go right. If the run game was that bad, I just don't think it's going to be that bad again. And I also think, I don't know if you're going to have an improvement at quarterback by any means, but I would hope that you're not going to have the receiver that led the country in drops lead the country in drops again, right? So it's like, I think there's, the bar was set so low for the inefficiencies and the things that Bama's offense did poorly last year. Like, it wasn't just that they weren't good at running the football. It's they had fucking -3 yards rushing in the SEC championship game. So it's like, I think those things can improve, not just because they should, but because they were so comically bad at times last year. I don't know how they could be worse.
No, I think that makes complete sense. But I also believe I have a solution, Marler, for Alabama and their offensive woes, and particularly dropping the football. And that's our friends, Ultra Pouches. Go check them out. TakeUltra.com, promo code THAT. SEC, get 15% off your first order over at TakeUltra.com. This is completely nicotine-free, caffeine-free, packed with nootropics. We need to give Marler's internet some nootropics to get its ass in gear. These pouches will elevate your cortisol. I'm sending some to Marler right now. These guilt-free patches over at TakeUltra.com. Promo code THATSEC for 15% off. You can't beat it, Chris. You can't beat it. You know what else you can't beat?
My meat.
Well, that too. But I just had friend of the show, friend of your show, SEC Stat Cat Clark.
Oh, he's the best.
Brooks. I recorded with him this morning. Probably put that interview out tomorrow, Wednesday. But I just want to, and he put this out publicly already, so I'm not revealing anything, but he has got Dylan Stewart.
Yeah,
as the number 3 overall player in the country, number 1 player out of the SEC in 2026. I know you're locked on your Cox.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel that Clark Brooks got the best player in the SEC from South Carolina, and it's not even Lenore Sellers?
I'm getting fucking worked in the chat right now. I mean, just this must be what prison feels like. Yeah, that was I love it. I think what will be really interesting for Stewart this year is like what kind of year does he have from a production standpoint? Because at that position, it's so hit or miss sometimes. Like think about the year that Will Anderson had where he had like 17 sacks and 33 tackles for loss or something crazy like that. Like they have years like that, and he's a top 3 pick overall. Or you think about Jadeveon Clowney when he was there and he really didn't do much his final year, but we all knew he was still the most impactful and disruptive defensive player in the country. I think what will be interesting for me is, and South Carolina did a really, really good job, I think, at trying to make sure they prioritize this in the portal and in recruiting to make sure they had this set up. When Stewart burst on the scene, it was in 2024, and it was him and Kyle Kennard. And Kennard, obviously, becomes defensive player of the year, has 11.5 sacks. One of the reasons he was so great was you had him on that one side, and then you had Stewart on the other. And Stewart was obviously really, really good. So, you were not able to have just one guy that the offensive line had to be worried about, right? It impacted the rest of the offensive line as a whole. Defensive line as a whole. You saw, like Tonka Hemingway. Who's the other one? I'm drawing a blank right now because I'm tired. But, the other interior offensive lineman or interior defensive lineman each had 4 sacks that season, which is not a number you see a ton from that position. Like, sure, edge, absolutely. Outside linebacker, whatever, like defensive end, whichever ones you want to include in that little group, absolutely, that's a fine number. But getting 4 sacks from both of your interior defensive linemen was obviously partially because of how good and disruptive Kennard and Stewart was. Having Julian Walker, a 5-star kid from Dutch Fork, coming in as a true freshman, I think he can be really good. The kid they got out of Tennessee, I'm really excited about him. And they've got some other dudes there that are talented enough to take some of the shoulder some of the load off of Dylan Stewart. And they got better on the defensive tackle and interior defensive line as well. And so I think it's all going to be a lot more better connected than it was a season ago. And I think Stewart is going to feast, man. I think he's going to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking about being really good. Do you think Auburn?
Marler slaps his face with boudin before he eats it. That is Wild. That is a wild statement to make. That's incredible, dude. Mackie's on fire. That is, you should, we should give that guy, we should give that guy money. Him and Cameron Vaughn are the MVPs of the chat today, without a doubt. Like, without a doubt. Anyway, Auburn.
Auburn. I mean, Golish is, it's been a wild ride. He's only been a coach for, what, 2 months down there? I don't even know if it's been 2 months yet, but it seems like he was celebrated. And then they were like, what the hell's we doing with this guy? Now I'm kind of back to thinking that he's going to be one of the better hires in the SEC this season. Where do you currently see Auburn?
I don't, first off, fuck Auburn. No, I like what Golish is doing in terms of the copy paste thing from USF to here. Byron Brown is it's going to be so interesting to see what he looks like, because have they fired him yet? That's good. I think it'll be really interesting to see what he looks like against SEC competition, because I remember, listen, 2 years in a row when they played Alabama in 2023 and 2024, they win those games if he can just connect on a deep ball. Maybe he got significantly better than, like, in that last year. I do know that, like, a season ago, I mean, he put up ridiculous numbers, 3,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing. They've got some talent, and I think the defense is always going to carry it, especially keeping DJ Durkin. That was huge. Again, I keep saying it over and over again, and I'm going to keep saying it until I'm pink in the face, huh, instead of blue in the face because of the circle, right? Am I right, Mike? Okay. Because I think the story across the SEC this year is not just the addition, but it's a lot more the retention. Like, having the combination of Golish and also DJ Durkin, it feels like you're going to have a top 20 or 30 defense in the country every year with Durkin and the talent you're going to bring in there. And with Golish, if he can figure out ways to scheme guys open, and we've already seen him be really good at getting, like the most competitively out of his teams, and also not being scared of who they're going up against. I think that's what I'm most excited about, is this is the, like, the most genuine and real coach Auburn's had in quite some time. Like there was something really gimmicky about Gus. There was something really gimmicky about Harsin a little bit, or just kind of like, just what's the best way to put it? Like, distance and shut down about Harsin. Like, he wasn't completely bought in. And Freeze was just a fraud, man. Like, his whole fucking shtick was all very, very surface level and fake. I think it'll be really interesting to see what Golish does with the attitude of this team, because I don't think he gives a shit where the players are from, who he has. He's going to find the best 11 on each side of the ball, and he's going to go compete. And I think he's going to be a really, really good, you know, I don't want to say a great coach for them or in the SEC. He's a good fix and a step up from the past two people they've had.
Do you think Auburn is positioned from a booster standpoint to pull off what some of these others, like a Texas Tech, like an Oregon, maybe not to that exact, to that extreme, but we know they have, what, is it like the richest guy in Alabama? Isn't he an Auburn guy?
Yeah. I don't know why he's not giving more money, man.
I think it's fair to say, well, he probably has given so much, and now he's like, I need to believe in the coach,
yeah,
before I give any. But basically, what I'm trying to get to is, like, let's say they go 8-4 or 9-3,
right,
which I think would be an excellent, excellent first year. Then the pocketbook opens. Do you think it's fair to say that Auburn is in position to do something like that?
I mean, they already have. I mean, like, last year's roster was a top 15 roster nationally. They just couldn't fucking coach. I mean, like, right, dude, like, they, it, you think about, the numbers don't seem to make as much sense now because of what they are now versus then. But, like, a year ago, you went and gave Cam Coleman $1 million. You gave Eric Singleton $1 million. They were two of the highest paid receivers in the SEC. They were both on your team, right? And so, and then you go out and get a quarterback, Jackson Arnold, who was $1.2 million, which, I like, listen, former five-star, you kind of feel like it's at some point it's bound to work. Also, you're the fucking idiot, Hugh Freeze, that came in and told everyone you were a QB whisperer. You were a QB coach and you couldn't fucking figure it out. And so, I think the thing that made the least amount of sense to me, because they had so much talent in place, but they didn't have a coach that could just get out of his own way and figure out a way. Like I've told you this stat before, Mike. Who was the running back, number 23, 2 years ago for Auburn? Jarvis
Hunter.
Jarvis Hunter. Is that your show's right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jarquez Hunter.
Jarquez Hunter, not Jarvis. Jarquez Hunter, I'm gonna get canceled. Jarquez Hunter had in 40 something games at Auburn, he had two games with over 20 carries. In those two games, he averaged 215 yards and had like, you know, four touchdowns, something like that. He had over 200 in each. They just refused to give him the ball. I never understood it. So at the very least, I know you have a guy that can manage talent better and do more with less instead of less with more. They have the ability to spend. Like now you brought up, are they going to be able to spend with Texas? No, I think that's the scariest part out of all this with the NIL stuff is you are going to see a new echelon and tier of programs that are going to consistently be in the running for national championships. And you can sit here and make all the jokes we want about, well, it's because everyone now gets to pay players, blah, blah. Is this more fair? Are we having more fun watching Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Texas Tech, LSU this year? I don't think they'll do it every year, but those four schools specifically, are we having more fun watching them go outspend everyone just to get mercenary filled rosters to go get one and done in the fucking playoff? Like, is that truly more fun? Because at Auburn and the state of Alabama, you have one billionaire. That's not the same in Texas. Like in Texas, they built that fucking new end zone that looked like a giant labia in the end of where the Longhorn came out of. Those fucking suites that were in the end zone were going for like $10 million a piece. Like they have fucking, that's not real money. It's oil money. And so I think what they're going to have to do at some point, I don't even think this answers the question, but I'm just going to get on the soapbox anyway. I think what they're going to have to do at some point is figure out a way to say, hey, we have a $20 million cap. Or a $30 million cap or 25, what the fuck ever. And if you sign with a place, that is a binding thing that you have to be there for at least a year. Because this whole thing we have now where it's like, it's just the highest bidder and you're going to go overpay for all these players. I'll tell you when it's going to start happening, Mike. I brought that scenario you said with Auburn. I brought this up a couple of years ago or last year, especially. It's like at some point this bubble's going to burst. Because like I can assure you, down here in Baton Rouge, talking to people around the program, I jokingly talked to somebody a while back. I said, well, yeah, you know, money's not real in college football. And he's like, I assure you, it really is. Like it is 1,000% real. And what's frustrating is we are now going to get into a situation where you're going to find everyone is just the fucking 2003 Yankees. Everyone is just like just a loaded roster that's the fucking 2024 Dodgers, 2025 Dodgers. You're going to buy a team. And the teams that can do that year over year are going to compete every year. And the other ones are going to have to hope that they can make a run every couple of years if they can get enough money and crowdsourcing or what the fuck ever. But like, if you thought it was a disadvantage for like the rest of the country and all that bullshit about, well, the SEC was paying players on the table for years. Now it's even, if you thought that was a big like a disparity in competition and like fairness of across the country, just fucking wait, man. Just fucking wait. I will guarantee you, you're not going to see a bunch of Indiana national championships. You're going to see way more Ohio State national championships like in 2024 than you saw with this one, because it has always been about the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. And that is going to be painstakingly obvious in the near future.
But hey, you just hit on something I heard right before we hopped on. I thought it was kind of interesting. The top five best odds to win the national championship next year.
Yeah.
There's only one from the SEC. And it's, you know, in typical years, there's at least two to three, if we're saying top five. I don't know if you know this, but who is, do you think, the best odds out of the SEC right now to win the national championship?
Texas.
Yeah, you nailed it. But so no. But point being, there's no Georgia.
No.
Which I think is a mistake. But if I had to say a third one, do you think it's fair to put LSU there already?
1,000%. This is not this cannot be this upcoming year. This is not, I've heard people around here locally say, you know, and the hope is in year one, you're competing for a chance at making the college football playoff. Shut the fuck up. Because I have heard these same people, and I love it here in Baton Rouge. I really cannot begin to tell you how much we have loved moving here. But when I tell you that the same people are at the forefront of saying, well, you know, Bama, they're going to run DeBoer off if he loses four games a year. And it's like, dude, I know that DeBoer's not spending $40 million on a roster. I know that he didn't. No one else in the country has gone out and gotten the top three of the top four players in the transfer portal and brought them in. And by the way, Mike, all three at the three most important positions and highest valued positions in the sport: quarterback, left tackle, edge rush. So he better be competing for a national championship in year one, because I'm telling you right now, when this whole thing happened, I remember talking to boosters around LSU and having this information of saying, okay, what are we doing with Brian Kelly if he loses? Do we, after the Vanderbilt game, it was like, well, there's no appetite to pay a $54 million buyout. That was the exact phrase. There's no appetite to pay a $54 million buyout. The next week he loses to Texas A&M, the same person said, we're going to figure out this buyout. He's going to be gone by tomorrow. And he was. And part of that conversation became, okay, if he's gone, we really have to think about this, Mike, because you're not just paying his buyout. You got to pay out the buyouts of the new coach or the old coaches. Then you got to figure out the terms of the contract for the new head coach and his staff. So all in, what are we talking here? And what they were comfortable with paying was around $115 million. I would venture to say that part of that was probably on the low end because they thought they'd be able to get out of half of Kelly's contract buyout. They weren't. Then they did not think they were probably going to be paying $91 million to their new coach. They are. And on top of that, the idea that they were going to promise a $30 million roster to Lane Kiffin was fulfilled. But for whatever reason, just like all of us at fucking Target, they just kept spending. And it was like, all right, 30, who cares? It's 40. 40 is not a big deal. We're already here. Might as well pay for it. So to have $40 million, they are going to be right around $200 million when all is said and done. When you think about the Kelly thing was 54, the new contract for Kiffin is 91. Just right there, that's 145 million on top of the roster, on top of the fucking, what do you call it? The assistant coaches buyouts and the new staff. Like, you're talking about a $200 million investment, not all due this year, but like, that's a lot, man. And if you don't go in, how do you, like, maybe the only way out of it, Mike, is you gave $18 million to Brian Kelly a year ago by his own admission, and he lost. And the end result for that next year, when you had to come pass the hat around to get him asked for money, wasn't, well, I don't want to contribute. It was, well, we're going to fire the coach. So now everyone's back in. You can't fire a coach every year. So, I mean, it's wild.
God, you're throwing out those figures. All I can think, Marler, is just those poor children's hospitals down there in Louisiana. That's factual information.
Hold on, but what is his comment? What in the fuck? Marler's not showing face because he's sitting on a dildo.
I mean, that's a question mark, though.
The fact that you think I haven't done a show like that already, and two, couldn't just figure out a way to play it off. I mean, that makes me disappointed in you, man. Okay, I'm walking into my parents' house.
Well, I'll tell you one other thing, Marler. You don't need $200 million to get you some good boots. Over at bruntworkwear.com, promo code SEC, get you $10 off your full order over at bruntworkwear.com. There's a link in the show notes. Go check them out. Boots, apparel, cold weather gear, hoodies, crew necks, waterproof boots. They got you covered over at bruntworkwear.com. Promo code SEC. Get you $10 off. Help the show. Help us out. Help Marler afford a damn camera or cord or whatever the hell he needs by going over to bruntworkwear.com and using promo code SEC for $10 off. Hey, so I mentioned Georgia. Oh, there he is. Is it fair to kind of like, I'm not saying they're getting written off, but
yeah.
I mean, back-to-back SEC champions, but also haven't won a playoff game in a couple years.
So this is going to be the thing I hate the most this offseason, I can already tell. Because the amount of even Georgia fans that are sitting here talking about Kirby Smart in a negative way. Thanks, VBF. the fact that the amount of Georgia fans are talking about him in a negative way, like, well, I posted this the other day, Mike, and this is why I love Georgia and Kirby Smart more than most programs in the country. He does not give a shit if you are doing it a certain way or you think a certain way is better than his. This moment right here, I don't know if this is from last year or the year before, but when it was from the year before in 2024 when he motherfucked Greg Sankey in front of everybody and was just like, you sent us on the road all year long. That was awesome. But like the idea, Listen, MacIver, that money doesn't go to me. Send it to me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
What's wrong with my camera? My camera's fine. I just bought a new fucking camera. Anyway, so
what about this one?
Kirby's had in the last five portal cycles combined, in the last five portal cycles combined, he's had 35 players that he's brought in overall in the portal. Okay. Mm-hmm. To put that in perspective, there were I think five teams in Power Four this year that brought in 40 or more, including LSU and including one more SEC team. I want to say it was Arkansas, but I could be wrong. So, like, he is not a person that is going to go out there and he's going to march to the beat of his own drum. It has obviously worked for him. But what's going to piss me off about this whole thing with Kirby is you're already starting to hear this very, very real prisoner of the moment arguments being made against him of like, well, he hasn't won a playoff game since 2022 or 2023 or whatever the fucking year was. And it's like, okay, well, he also won back-to-back national championships. He was 3 points away on a neutral field from potentially winning a third. I think they were the best team in the country in 2023. And they get fucked over and have to drop from 1 to 6 despite being undefeated for 2 straight years. There's not a person in the country that I am going to give the benefit of the doubt to more than Donald J. Trump. No, I'm kidding. Than Kirby Smart. And with Kirby Smart, like, I think that you can sit here and say it's been frustrating they haven't won 2 years in a row. Fine. Like they were in full control of that game against Ole Miss. The better team won. Ole Miss deserved to win that game. The year before, they went down there and you know, they had a backup quarterback. Kirby's dad was fucking dying in the hospital. There was a terrorist attack the day before in the city. Like those are not normal things. I don't think this is going to be something with Kirby where it's like they're going to, you know what, they're going to fall by the wayside because they're not going out and spending. They routinely have some of the highest ranked recruiting classes in the country. And the difference with Georgia versus everywhere else is because Bama's finished up there really high. Texas has done that. Texas A&M's done it in the past. Those players aren't fucking leaving when they go to Athens. Like, for the most part, they don't leave. And I tell you right now, Mike, this Georgia team that they have coming in across the lines of scrimmage, especially on the defensive line, you're going to see a Georgia defense that is way more similar to 2021 than we have seen in any of the past few seasons. They are going to be dominant up front. And I think that the lack of turnover and from like a coaching staff standpoint, remember they had a couple guys left last year. You're going to see a lot more continuity. You're going to see a lot more, I think, developed players, veteran players, more experienced stuff. And he's trimmed some of the fat from some of those players that left. And most importantly, and this is the worst thing that happened with Kirby Smart, is you're going to get a chip on his shoulder, which means you're going to get the best version of Kirby Smart. And that's the worst fucking thing most coaches can imagine when having to face him.
Yeah, so point being, I think, I'm not guaranteeing they're going to win the national championship, but this is a rare year where I think there's real value in betting that. So I don't know. I'd bet on, if you want to take a somewhat of a long shot, not truly a long shot, but if you want to get some value, I think the most value is on Georgia right now.
As it should be. And like, I don't know what the schedule is, but here's the other thing too, man, that Georgia, like the thing that happened with Notre Dame, if that was Notre Dame, if that was Bama, like it was probably, if it's any other fucking program in the country, we are talking about that differently. Yeah, well, they lost, but their starting quarterback was out. Like, we don't talk about Georgia with excuses because they're so good. We don't give them excuses, and Kirby doesn't want to make excuses either. Like, I can guarantee you that. But going into that 2024 run, keep in mind that team played 5 fucking top 20 opponents away from home that season. And I think he won those games by an average of double digits. Like lost the Bama game, beat Texas's ass twice. I mean, it hasn't lost to Texas. And again, we are sitting here once again. I told you this in Atlanta last year. We're sitting here once again. Texas is somehow the fucking favorite of the SEC to win, even though they went fucking 9-3 this year and won the Cheez-It Bowl, and they're 0-3 against Georgia in 2 years. I mean, that's insane.
You forgot Georgia barely beat Tennessee and Neyland that year.
That's also very true.
Do you remember the score?
44-41.
It was 45-7. But Tennessee.
Oh, 2024?
Yeah. But Tennessee was up.
That was the one team they got at home. That was the one team they got at home because they beat them. Tennessee got it to a 10-0 lead, and I think they lost 31. Oh, wait.
Okay. I'm thinking of 23 then.
Yeah.
Tennessee jumped out 7-0 lead, scored on the first play.
Right.
Then they got outscored 45-0 the rest of the game. All right. Let me ask.
The very first play, you're right.
Yeah. Who do you got? Who's going to have a better record next year, Kentucky or Arkansas?
Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Yeah, Kentucky's going to be good.
And have you
Kentucky,
seen the schedule?
Yeah, but... Oh,
how many conference games they winning?
Maybe I haven't. okay, that's tough. Never mind. So that's 3, 4, 5. I'll give them 6-6.
Where are the six?
Up your butt and around the corner.
Vanderbilt?
Hold on. Pablo Picasso said, Marler mocking Texas when the 9-3 Texas was better than every SEC team Nog named Georgia is hilarious.
Didn't they lose to Florida?
I'm not going to bring up Florida. Again, this is why Texas fans can't be fucking taken seriously. Because, like, we'll go a step further. As a program overall, you guys are fucking, you're the Michigan of the Southeast, or the South. Like, you are riding on the fucking carcass of a program that used to be good in the 70s that hasn't been shit with the most resources, the best players available in your backyard, and you guys have done, you've won what with it? If Reggie Bush doesn't fucking lateral ball when he's like walking into an end zone, then you probably don't even win the Rose Bowl in 2005. Like, what have you won since then?
Yeah, but
they had a chance to beat Bama, and then Colt got so hurt that his daddy had to walk him off the field like a bitch. So, like, I don't, 9-3, you're talking about the best team in the SEC. You were 9-3. Like, did I miss something? Did you make the playoff? Five teams made the playoff this year.
They beat Oklahoma 3 out of 4.
Y'all are such losers bringing up money. Y'all are fucking losers for having to depend on it so much, dude. What are you talking about? Like you know what? I know that I came here to watch this show and ask, you know, two guys answering questions that are being asked of them, talking about the relative things and like present things in the world of college football. But you guys are fucking losers for bringing it up. If it affects my team in a negative way, buddy, it's the same with everywhere. You guys have the fact that you have the most resources in the country. In the country, you're not even the best fucking program in your state anymore. Texas Tech is. How pathetic is that?
I think maybe A&M surpassed them too. I mean, they made the playoff.
Yeah, but they lost to them. I fucking hate that too. All right,
so
you know, honestly, they are like the non-Catholic version of Notre Dame. You guys have won like one thing in the last 50 fucking years, besides an argument with yourself in the shower. It's fucking embarrassing, dude. It's embarrassing.
Could you say, and pardon my ignorance here because I'm not from Texas.
I pardon it.
Maybe they're the Baptist version of Notre Dame.
No, because I'm pretty sure that's like, I think that's.
Is that Baylor. Just. There's
too many
okay.
religious denominations in Texas right. that actual right. school has been named after. There's the Methodist, there's a Baptist one. I mean, honestly, like you think about how much money is spent in that place. Like, Mike. This is 6 months ago. They were the number one team in the country going into the year. Mm-hmm. The number one team in the country going into the year. They were gifted a fucking red carpet, not just in football, in every sport. This guy's never going to fucking listen to the show again. In every sport, they were gifted the easiest path to the SEC title in every single sport. Men's basketball, in fucking, what do you call it, football and baseball. Every tough game you got was at home. You got your fucking doors blown off every time you've played Georgia. Every time. It's pathetic, dude. It's pathetic.
Could we say Baylor and SMU? Oh, wait. I think he was saying they were better than...
Yeah.
I thought he was saying they were better than Texas. I was like...
The lack of self-awareness to write this part, too. Y'all are so insecure and apply standards to strictly text another team. Buddy, you're on an island. You're on an island by yourself. But I'm sure at some point, some other fucking moron Texas fan or media member, because they're somehow even worse than the fans, is going to swim up ashore and say, no, you're right, Pablo. Everyone else is out to get us. We never have anything go our way. Fucking babies, dude. Just fucking babies.
He is throwing plastic bottles at the screen right now.
I've seen him do that. Remember that? When they had to have a fucking, like a meltdown, just a child's tantrum. Mm-hmm. And throwing water and beer bottles all over the field just to lose by 15? Ugh. Ugh. Gross.
So back to the question. So you don't think Arkansas could outdo Kentucky just given the schedules?
I know they're winning on November 21st for sure. I guess maybe so just because the schedules. I don't know who they're playing in What is that? In the first one.
That would be, I believe it's Central Bama.
Is North Alabama?
Well, yeah, there you go, North. I knew it was a Bama of some sort.
That looks like a shitty law firm that would have a car decal for you to call them because they couldn't afford a billboard. Utah will be interesting because Utah, obviously, Whittingham's gone. It's a totally new era, but they don't lose at home a lot, obviously. Georgia's a loss. Tulsa should be a win. If you can get the 3-1 out of the gates, like that's pretty good. I think that next stretch is going to be tough. I mean, and then November, obviously, is pretty brutal as well. So you better front load the wins there. And I tell you what, one of the biggest question marks we're going to have here too, Mike, is how is Vandy going to look? Like, how is Vandy going to look this year compared to last year? Because they do have a freshman quarterback that I expect to start. And we'll have a, I don't know, man. Like I don't know how good they're going to be. They're playing Delaware, huh?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco's old stomping grounds. It'll be interesting to see how good they are versus because I think in the past you would see some of these schedules that we're looking at. And I know it's way too early, but we look at the schedule and be like, that's a loss. That's a loss. That's a loss. And oftentimes that would be Vandy or in this case, it would also be Arkansas at times. So I wonder which of those teams is going to be that. And I'll tell you this thing too, man. I've said this over and over, and I firmly believe it. I thought this year was a down year for the conference. I know that sounds kind of dumb because they still got five teams in the playoff. I think that was partially because Notre Dame got fucked, which we all loved, but also like, who else were you going to put in there? Right. Like who else were you going to, who else were you going to put into the playoff? I think you had five really good team or good teams, like really good teams from this season. I think you had five top 15 level, some top 10 level teams. I don't think there was a single elite team of the bunch like that was going to be able to play all three phases of the game. So well, even Ole Miss was incredible on offense. They were incredible on special teams, but the defense kind of let them down a couple times. And so there wasn't one of those teams. I think next year you're going to have multiple teams in this conference that I think are elite. Also, Pablo, I think Texas might be one of them. So when you're, I know you're feeling edged right now because no one's talking enough about Texas. So you got a little, little anger bang by your right hand right now, sitting in your mom's basement. But feel free to let it go, bud, because I do think Texas is going to be really, really good.
Well, I was going to ask if you wanted to troll anyone out the door, but I think you just accomplished that.
Yeah.
No one can see you, but would you like to plug anything? And do your other outlets, did they feature video?
Thorhog. Join my OnlyFans channel, Thorhog. It is $7.99, but we are going to have an Easter sale pretty soon. So make sure you are sticking with that.
All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate you as always. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll be back tonight with a little watch party. Cousin Shane's returned to the show. We're going to be watching a Tennessee Ole Miss basketball game. Come hang out. If you don't like basketball, you can just ask us football questions for 2 hours. We'll be happy to answer them. But until then, we will catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.